Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, good morning. We have a lot we want to cover this morning. Got Grady here from the Risley Ministries in Mexico. It's been quite a while since we've had our good report, so looking forward to that. Then the young people getting ready for camp and leaving out here. What time is the bus planning on leaving? 1:30. And so just going to have a wonderful week. And I exhort you, I encourage you, I request you, please be in prayer every day for the camp. Be in prayer for safety of travel, safety while there. A tragedy will not ruin a camp like this. God's doing something else. But it certainly would distract from the momentum. So please pray for safety and getting there and at camp. And then be in prayer. Out of 92 young people, we know there could be ones who have never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Pray that not one of them leaves without clearly understanding the gospel. And our joy would be that everyone returns a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And then they go from that to the filling of the Spirit and then to loving as Christ loved. And that's the theme of the camp. I told my grandchildren were over at the house, and they were fighting in the living room. And I turned and I said, this next week we're going to learn how to love each other. And my granddaughter goes, bye. I won't be there. And so it's just be in prayer. We're going to look for a lot of fun and some wonderful things going on. But let's begin now with a word of prayer that all that we do this hour will be glorifying to the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you for the truth that we have opened up to us, Father. We thank you for the outreach, both here as a local assembly, the internet, missions, and with our young people. The future is dependent upon these young people taking up the banner of the truth of the gospel. One of the most difficult things in history is to pass down the truth of the gospel. I pray, Father, that these young people will grab hold of it, and as they get older in their 20s and 30s, do not leave it, but stand guard. Stand their place. Take our place, Father, in being a witness of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray now that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. Pray we'll be edified, encouraged, and challenged in regard to the missions from Grady and his family. Just pray that all that we do, glorifying to you in the name of your Son and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Brian, we're going to sing some appropriate songs, right? Okay. Okay, thank you. Got a few announcements to make. First of all, 2 weeks from now will be Communion Sunday, and the theme will be finger food. I like that, you know. Yeah, you have to wash your hands when you eat finger food. Okay. Tuna sandwiches, chicken salad sandwich, and turkey. Anyway, a whole bunch of good stuff. And I get hungry if I keep reading it. I don't see Bluebell ice cream on here, but okay. All right. In regard to prayer, Edna's sister, Juanita, went home to be with the Lord yesterday, so please be in prayer for Edna and for the family. It's tempered with the fact of knowing exactly where their sister is, home with the Lord. Continue to be in prayer for Romeo and his family as they work through some negotiations of their time here in America. And about young Thomas. Got a report this morning. He is just doing super. Went by to see him the other day and was just blown away. Just looks so good. And he's been to the hospital twice a week getting checks. All the platelets are good. Almost normal. And so he's just doing really good. Has a few little symptoms, repercussions. I understand, nothing serious, but we all know this, a little splinter can turn into quite a major deal if it's not taken care of. So please be in prayer for continual health and just improvement each day as it goes by. Now, last week, I asked you to be in prayer for my son Kelly. He had a surgery, doing good. In fact, he's here with us. I don't know that he should be up walking around, but he's up walking around. And we're just thankful that the surgery went okay and that you'll continue to get better. Now, are there any other announcements that I'm not aware of? Yes. Eve had surgery Friday. And so please be in prayer for Eve as she recovers Friday night and today. We talked to her last night, and she said, yeah, they kicked me out of the hospital already. I didn't really want to leave, but that's the way they do nowadays. The days of just going in and sacking out in the hospital for several days is over. So please be in prayer for Eve as she continues to recover from her surgery. Yes? And then you'll be in prayer then.
Thanksgiving. I had my cancer test, and it was clear again. So that's 1 year.
Fantastic. Wow. You know, yeah, absolutely. You know, I know Thomas is a miracle. And you saw him in ICU for a week. Just didn't know what God was going to do. It's a miracle. I think this is a miracle. Overcome stage 4 in cancer. So she'll be around for a while. And we're happy for that, Tish.
I want to thank them all because I know they know how to pray. So I'm thankful that they were praying for me.
Yeah. Governor Perry, yes.
Well, this one's a thank you.
Good.
It's a while back, my cousin decided to give her life to ministry, and she decided to go on a trip that, as a family, we all consider extremely dangerous in human trafficking field. She's very young, and we were kind of like, we're so grateful that she's going to ministry, but can you work with us?
Very good. It's always wonderful when you have some kind of a ministry that takes you out to be married to someone who either is in full support or even shares in that calling. So it's very good. Thank you. Any other requests or anything? Governor Perry, the governor of Texas, as I think, probably in a good heart, wanted to have a day of prayer. He's gotten involved with some most questionable organizations in regard to setting it up. It sounds so, I think it sounds wrong that we would be against such a thing, but when if you have a day of prayer, I've gotten some calls from some preachers on this, is the reason I'm commenting on it. If you have a day of prayer, no meeting or anything, just, I think that's great. Everyone prays. When you start pulling people together, and then you put it up with people that do not even understand the truth of the gospel, that really is going to jeopardize the prayer concept. And prayer, as we know, a lot of prayer just goes no higher than the ceiling. Got to be a believer in Jesus Christ, know how to pray in the power of the Spirit, a lot of things involved. But this does not take away the fact that we all should be in prayer for our country, for our leaders, for our state, as well as for our church and for one another. So prayer is just a powerful, powerful privilege given to us. Jesus Christ did some revolutionary teaching on prayer in John 13 through 16. Never before had they prayed to the Father. They knew Him as Father. They never prayed to Him as Father. But because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming and returning, going up to heaven, we can pray to the Father. Never before in history were prayers given in Jesus' name. We now do that. Never before were prayers answered in Jesus' name. They are now. So prayer is a dynamic part of our spiritual life, of our whole, every area of our life. We saw this morning in 1 Corinthians, you want to know about yourself? You really want to learn about yourself? You don't need to buy books. Just look back at your prayer life. Not what you'll pray tomorrow, where you're ahead of it now. What have you been giving thanks for? It's private. It's between you and the Lord. Nobody else knows. You know. What have you been given thanks for? You'll learn about yourself. What are your requests for yourself and for others? You'll learn about yourself. You'll learn who and what you are if you just take note of your own prayer life. That will reveal to you what's important to me. What do I pray in regard to others, in regard to myself? Do I pray for health and wealth? Or do I pray for spiritual momentum? You'll learn about yourself. So prayer is very powerful, and that's why I like even the prayers of praise and thanksgiving. So any other requests on prayer or anything? Okay. Today, believing for Cam. Chris, you have anything you want to say?
I did want to say, I wanted to say a couple of things here. We've got, if you look around, lots of blue shirts. I got to keep this really close. So, lots of blue shirts. Those are a lot of the counselors that are going up to camp today. We had shipped a lot of them out so we'd have seats. So a bunch of folks that are normally in the congregation are already up there setting up, so we had room for everybody to come in. But I wanted to first start with a thank you to the folks who came in. We've got Becky, who came all the way from Las Vegas. So Larry came up from Houston, our Conroe area. Ray came in from Colorado. You'll notice a trend. These are all Lori's family. And my family came last year. It was too hot. They're not coming back. Lori's family's coming in this year. We'll see if we can, you know, get them over a few years. So, and Grady came up from Mexico. He's going to be our speaker, and I'll let Herman introduce him in a second. But I'm standing very humbled before this group of people that we're able to take the time and give their time to come up and be a part of our camp. The kids in the back, the young adults in the back. Hopefully we're going to have an amazing time. Last week I made a comment I wanted to follow up on and kind of revise in my joking around. I said we were going to have lobster and steak because we made so much money on all these fundraisers. That was really said in jest, in case you were curious. We're not having lobster and steak. Herman and I are going to after camp, but it's not going to be on your money, okay? The fact is, I did want to give a little bit of a financial report, just very preliminary, just to show you how absolutely amazing our God is. He provides everything we need. We went into this with faith a year ago, and every single month we've been talking about fundraising and talking about the camp and hitting you guys up for more stuff. We just ran the numbers. Leslie and I sat down and went through every one of the numbers, and we literally are $174
ahead of what we need to be in order to everything in camp. So $174, there's the lobster and steak we're going to take. But we weren't watching it that closely. We were paying attention. We knew what we had, generally what we had to make, and we made every dime that we needed to include a car wash we did a couple of weeks ago, and people came by and gave $100 checks. It was amazing, and our God is a fantastic God, and you know, He deserves all the credit. And this week is about glorifying Him. So, very happy to have everybody who's going to be joining us, the folks in the congregation who are already up there, the folks that are going up there today, and folks that came from all over the country to be a part of this week. So, please, prayers, lots and lots of prayers. Joe and Buck are flying in this afternoon, coming from Arizona, so they'll be. Brian's picking them up and getting them up to camp for us this afternoon. So we will have an entire crew up there, and it's going to be absolutely an awesome time. Come next week, we'll have to bring in more chairs because we're going to have a lot of people. We're going to have a slideshow, and we'll show you some music, and we got a band coming in. So lots of amazing stuff that's happening this week. Have a good time. So that's all I got.
Okay, if I'm mistaken, Lester, will it be baloney?
We'll tell you next week.
I like baloney. Any comment about the youth camp or things going on in that respect? Okay, the Word of God declares whatsoever a man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined, first of all, as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. The offering plate is of no issue if you're not a believer in Christ. The only issue for you is the offering on the cross, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But it's not just for the believer. The offering is for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith in the Spirit. How am I filled with the Spirit? How am I saved? Faith in the one who God has sent, Jesus Christ. How am I filled with the Spirit? Faith in the one that God has sent, His Spirit. And then the Spirit guides us, leads us in regard to what we do with our money, our time, stewardship, all these things. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this facet of worship, it's our custom to just reflect on the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other for this to occur. The political economic freedom we still enjoy in this country. The freedom to work, to earn a profit. The freedom to do with our money, our time, our lives, as we see fit. Not some outside force, not some government force, but as we set up our own criteria of what's important. And Father, we're very thankful for the men and women who have served in our nation's history and are serving now in our military and police to provide and protect this freedom. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. All the choices that we have to make, our time, our money, where we live, where we go to church, whom we marry, and why we do all these things. And Father, we're most grateful for the love demonstrated to us in Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will use them to continue the outreach of this humble assembly and the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers in all of the areas that you've given. We just put our cup out and you direct. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. We're opening your Bibles just for a moment. Matthew 28. What's the Risley family about? Dan in Mexico. Dan and Pat in Africa. People in the Philippines. What's the outreach about missions? Well, in Matthew 28, Jesus Christ gave what has come to be called the Great Commission. And one of the great problems is a misunderstanding of what this Great Commission is. And I mean it's a problem. For water baptism has divided a number of denominations and people through the history of the church. They don't understand Scripture. So let's just read through, getting ready for Grady's report of the ministry, the gospel ministry, the teaching ministry in Mexico. Let's just read through Christ's closing words in Matthew 28. In John 16, he told them, "In the world you have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Take courage." But in Matthew 28, we have what's called the Great Commission. And it says, Matthew 28, in verse 18, Jesus Christ gives the position why he is giving this commission, his authority to do so. This week at camp, we're going to be studying the new commandment. One of the first things any young person, any Christian needs to do. Does Christ have the position to give me a commandment? That's the most fundamental thing you have to decide. So Christ sets up his authority in giving the commission. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Well, if we get to the text, it's not what it says. First it says, "Go therefore," that's an aorist participle, and I'm not going to get into all that, but it should be translated "going." Going. And next you have, "and make disciples." The King James does not even have this word in their translation. Most translations translate this incorrectly. It is not "make disciples." It's an aorist active imperative. You disciple. You carry out the job. Not "make disciples." You disciple. Now I'm going to develop, just walk through this passage very quickly. So you do the discipling of all nations, people all over the world. And next you have baptizing them. Present active participle of the Greek word baptizo. People, this is not a translation. Baptism, baptismo is not, the English baptism is not a translation. It's what we call a transliteration. The Greek B-A-P, English B-A-P. They just transliterated letter for letter, not translated. So what does the Greek word mean? What does the Greek word baptizo mean? That's our question. And there are seven baptisms in the Bible. Only three are associated with water. Now, I think most of you know, so it doesn't matter. I grew up a good old Southern Baptist. And every time we saw the word baptism in the Bible, it meant water baptism. Baptism. It means dunk 'em. That's what it means. That's not true. There are seven baptisms in the Bible. Four are dry. So this word doesn't mean to refer to water baptism. The Greek, and I can bring you next week, lexicons, Greek lexicons, which are Greek dictionaries, classical Greek dictionary, the Greek word means to identify, to put into. That's what it means. To identify, to put into. If we were translating, not transliterating, we would have it "and identify them with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it means to put and to baptize. In classical Greek, you can just I would just go through a whole long list. The Spartans. The Spartans would identify, they would take a new spear, they're going into battle, they would take the spear and put it into pig's blood. I was identifying that spear as a weapon. And now they're ready to go to war. It identified them with death of the enemy. And that's the concept that flows through classical Greek and biblical Greek, people. And I'm not making anything. You can just go on the internet. Look these words up. This is what the word means. So our context is, going therefore, you disciple all nations, identifying them with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, think about the context. Think about the context. You have the world. It's in darkness. It's in darkness. It's identified with the world. It's identified with the ruler of the world, Satan. It's identified with the flesh nature. What is the commission? Go and identify them with me. Identify them with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This isn't all. People, there are multitudes of people who have experienced water baptism that are not even saved. There's nothing in water baptism. It doesn't save. It doesn't make you spiritual. What makes us spiritual? What saves us? What identifies us with Christ? The gospel. The gospel. That's what identifies us with Christ. So then he says in verse 20, teaching, present active participle, them to observe all that I command you. Now what has he commanded? Faith and love. 1 John chapter 3. And then the courage, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So it looks like this. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Going, therefore, and identifying all nations in the name of the Father, with the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How's that happening? Verse 20, teaching. Preaching the gospel. Giving the gospel. And if you understand this, then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul boasts, thanks God. I thank God I did not baptize very many. Well, now, something's wrong if the Great Commission is water baptism. Something's severely wrong with Paul. But if we study 1 Corinthians 1 with Matthew 28, we get a clear understanding of what's going on. Because in 1 Corinthians 1, what does Paul say? Christ did not commission me, send me to baptize with water. He sent me to proclaim the gospel. Same thing we have here. It's our objective to claim the gospel. Paul did not get distracted by it. Is there anything wrong with water baptism? Absolutely not. I have not historically been big on it. I have some grandchildren that want to be baptized. I'm probably going to open it up to our young people and anybody in the church. And I'll have what I call a baptism swimming party. But we'll just have some. Do some if you want to be baptized. But the important thing, I baptized in Africa. The important thing is, what are you doing? You're buried with Christ. You died with Christ. You're no longer yourself. You're raised to a new life with Christ. The issue is not the ritual. The issue is what you learn in the ritual. That's what the issue is. So the commission is to disciple, send out the gospel. Now, every individual? No. Therefore, you have the gift of missionaries. And we have a wonderful opportunity to have come in contact with the Risley family, Bill and Pat and Grady and his sisters and brother, and just be a part of that in our prayers, financial, fellowship, encouragement, all these wonderful things that we have a part in spreading the gospel there. It's dark. It's dark all over the world. They're identified with the world, identified with Allah, identified with Zeus, identified with false gods and false religions and everything. We want to identify them with Christ, with God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is our responsibility. So that's why we have an important part in dealing with our missions. And so with that in mind now, I'm going to turn it over to Grady and let Grady come. We'll probably sing at the end if we have time. If we don't, we won't. But I don't want to take any more of Grady's time. And Grady, we're just happy to have you here. It's been a long time. So come and give us a good report.
Thank you very much for having me again. It's nice to see everybody again. I've seen a lot of faces, but there's quite a few new ones. I'm looking forward to doing camp this year. Since there's so many people who are very unfamiliar with us or have just heard the name, Risley Family Ministries or Grady Risley's Missionary in Mexico, for that, due to this, I have, and me and my father, we've developed a presentation to kind of run you from the very beginning to up to current. Before I start on this, Pastor Herman pretty much covered everything I was just going to say in the beginning, but the gospel is so incredibly simple that when people put their fingerprints on it, they mess it up. It is so difficult for us as human beings to accept the fact that a loving God came in the form of Christ, died on the cross, carrying our sins, and not just my sins, not just the sins of a believer. When Christ Jesus died on that cross, he paid these sins for every single person alive, whoever lived, whoever died, whoever was. You can see that very clearly. If you'll hear 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And I know that I am going to run out of time today to get through everything, but I don't even know what my time frame is. No one told me when I need to be done. So within an hour and a half, we have to leave for camp in an hour and a half, right? So, yeah, we'll get it. Okay, it says very plainly and very simply. Nope, that's in Spanish. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. There is no question whether Christ has paid the debt for sin. It is finished. He paid the debt for sin. The question now is, what do you trust in? Who do you trust in? And what are you believing in to make you good enough for the Father above? And whether you are an atheist, you're an agnostic, you're a Catholic, you're a Methodist, you're a Baptist, you're a doctrinal, no matter what religion you claim or think that you are part of here or in any other part of the world, the only gospel that is the truth is Christ Jesus came, he did it, and you are either trusting in him to have done it and are spiritually in Christ Jesus and innocent or paid for clean in God's eyes through the blood of Christ, or you are outside of Christ and are not part of him. Christ died, he did it. You're in Christ, and you are as perfect in God's eyes as Christ Jesus himself, who paid the full penalty and rose again, or you are outside of Christ and you have no part of him. And the gospel is so simple because all I have to do is trust in Christ to have done what he's already done. I'm not looking for a priest to wave his hand and remove my guilt in the Father's eyes. No, my priest is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and through him I have full access to God the Father as a son. That is the reason I pray. I can cry, Abba, Father. I can come to him directly in prayer. And he knows me better than I know myself through the Holy Spirit that's in me. And that is through no work. It is through no ambition of mine. It is simply by, you know, I can't be good enough. I can't even do a minor task that can please God. In fact, when I go out and I decide to do something good, and I, but you know what, I'm going to be great. I'm going to give to the poor. In fact, I'm going to help that missionary. I'm going to help this pastor. I'm going to do this and that. That is as filthy rags. It is completely useless in God's eyes if it's not done through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the name of His Son. And so, in Mexico, one of the most difficult things that we deal with on a daily basis is it is a very Catholic society. Now, that is not to say that they are good Catholics, okay? The Pope himself would have a heart attack considering what they consider Catholicism in Mexico. They wouldn't know Catholicism if it jumped up a bit in the rear end. But our ministry in Mexico is simply to present the gospel and to the lessons that we have are designed to get them individually into the Word of God and stop relying upon me or my mom or my dad, but more importantly, upon their priest or upon anyone else who happens to be telling them what they need to believe and why they need to believe it. Okay? It is to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in Christ and the Holy Spirit to lead them, guide them as they read their own Bible and trust and rely upon the Holy Spirit to show them what He wants them to see. In Mexico, it is a very not a literate society. Many are now able to read. However, they do not get their information from books. They get their information from word of mouth. And so when the priest or the pastor standing behind a pulpit says, well, this is what you need to do. Hey, great. You know, he's a pastor. He said that. Good deal. Let's do it. Okay? And vice versa, a priest or whatever religion, they trust in that. Well, you know, he's a man of God. He said it. And part of our mission there is not to tell them what they need to know. I can tell you a lot of things you need to know, but you would then be believing me and hoping I got the verse right. You know what? Right here's the verse. It's in Spanish. It's in English. It's in almost every language on the face of the earth. It means what it says, and it says what it means. And the Holy Spirit can take a verse that and apply it and use it in a way that I never could give in 1,000 words. And so through faith in both Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, you can present the Word of God. They can believe in Christ. And when they are reading their own Bible, they don't have to think, well, do you know, I wonder, did he really say the verse the right way? Well, no, right here it is. It's in your word. Here's the lesson that's step by step through the gospel, verse by verse. And there's no question when it's finished as to, well, you know, it didn't cover this aspect or it didn't cover that. You know, you don't have to worry about what aspect you have or you haven't covered. And what you have and haven't defeated, and what argument you have or haven't bested, if you are simply presenting the truth. I can stand up here and I could have, I could get a Mormon and a Catholic to be jumping up and down, hooting and hollering with me as I'm lambasting the Mormon, or as I'm lambasting the jihadis, what are the Muslims? Okay? That's great, but you know what? If I told the truth, neither of those three are going to be sitting there jumping up and down, because they're going to have to be, they'll be convicted through the Word of God, not by what I am saying, but by what this Word says right here. Okay? So I have a lot less to do. I don't have to fight at all. I just tell them the truth, and it ends up being the same. Nobody likes me anyways, but, and so, you know, but at least I know I'm right. Yeah. Well, I did used to have hair. My sister Courtney, Nathan to the left, Amber to the left of him, Summer, the littlest, and me beside my mother. That was a long time ago, 1992. In 1992, my father was the pastor of a church in Ohio. Had been the pastor there for, I believe he was there for 8 years. And the pastor who ordained my father was a pastor named Mel Kirk. And Mel Kirk came to visit us one day, and he basically, his church, I don't want to say fell apart, but everybody kind of just left. So he felt a call into Haiti, and he decided he was going to join. He went over to Haiti. He was 63 when he went to Haiti. I believe he was 63, maybe 64. Anyways, he couldn't find a missions board that would possibly help him, you know, support him or send him. So he decided he was just going to go. And so he had a few churches that did know him, that did support, that knew him personally and supported him. And so he went to Haiti as a missionary. And later he did become affiliated with a missions organization. Anyways, he was in Haiti for, I think, 7 years, 6-7 years. And he came to give a missions report at our church in Ohio. And basically he asked if it would be possible to, if I could go to Haiti with him, you know, and I had been interested in it, and work with him for a while. So I went to Haiti. I was in Haiti between 4 and 5 months. And the difference was absolutely, totally, and completely unbelievable. In the United States, and I do not mean this to be bad or condemning. However, it is bad and it is condemning. In that, I love my country. I served in my country. I served in my country's army. And if we are so spoiled, gospelly, biblically, every which way, financially, that we have lost track of what is important. The truth of the gospel is no longer important. I can go out and find whatever gospel I want to hear today on the internet, or go to any other church in town, find whatever gospel I decide, hey, you know, I like the sound of that one, and however they want to twist it. We've lost focus on the Word of God. We've lost focus on thankfulness. We've lost focus on what we have in comparison to what the rest of the world does not have. And when we come to church, we're like, well, you know, I can't wait till this is over because that, you know, that ball game starts at 11:15. Kind of like we were talking about it last night. When the ball game starts at 11:15, you know, doggone, he's already 10 minutes over, you know. Or how am I going to go out to the steakhouse before I got to get home to see the game? Okay, well, when we have so many things that occupy so much of our time and so much is going on that we lose focus of what's important. And it's not because it, you know, watching a game's bad. It's not because eating a steakhouse is bad. It's not because having things is bad. It's not because of money or anything else is bad. But you know, when it or anything else takes precedent over your God and your dedication to that God and your understanding and your faith and your desire to be in the Word and to grow, there's where you have a problem. And I honestly don't care if it's being a missionary. If being a missionary is keeping you from being, is causing you to wander away from your time in the Word, your time in Christ, your time with the Spirit, your dedication to God, then you've got the wrong idea of a missionary. The whole point is spreading the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you are not, if you are not in your Word, if you are not studying, if you are not thankful, you might as well not even be a missionary. And when you get to another country, though, you don't really have to worry about it, because when you eat beans and rice all day, every day, you know, you're thankful for a whole lot more. And in Haiti, literally hundreds of people in meetings, and I know we don't talk about numbers, but literally hundreds of people in these meetings, and two-thirds respond to the gospel. Two-thirds come and acknowledge a faith, in, having turned to faith in Christ Jesus, having turned away from whatever else they were trusting in, whether it's voodoo, whether it's Catholicism. They turned from that faith in that thing, and they turned completely to trusting in Christ Jesus to have paid their debt for sin. And after seeing service after service after service of hundreds of people, literally hundreds of people coming to Christ, I came back to a church in Ohio that had maybe 10, 15 members. And most of the time, those didn't show up. And a worldly church that had lost its interest, and to a town of people who had lost their interest, and it broke my dad's heart, it broke my heart, and we said, you know, something has to happen. You know, we don't know what's going on, but there are people in this world, never heard the gospel, have no concept of what Christ has done, and those who do have a false gospel, for the most part. And I said, you know, I feel a leading to present that gospel. I feel a leading. I didn't particularly feel a leading for Haiti, but after seeing that, I felt a leading for missions work. And so I came back and like, hey, Dad, the rest of the world is hungry. They don't know. They're in the dark. They've got to have Christ. You know, the response is unbelievable. So we spent, I've covered that. And the Saturday morning phone conversations was, you won't believe what happened last night. You know, so many come to Christ. So in April, Mom and Dad, of course, had their cuddle time. And so that's why that was dark. You know, I wasn't supposed to talk about cuddle time. But their conversations every night were, you know, Dad's like, I'm feeling a leading to be a missionary. To change, go where people haven't heard, where they desire to hear the gospel. And, you know, Mom and Dad, night after night after night, as I was gone, you know, the talks and the intimate time with them, that was the topic of conversation. Okay, Dad's a pastor with a master's degree in theology, but no training as a missionary. Decisions made in June during prayer vigil to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. When I got back from Haiti, we literally got together with my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters, and we were talking, predominantly me, Mom and Dad at first, but, you know, we need to figure out what we're doing, you know, because we know now God is leading us somewhere, but we need to, you know, where and what and how. So we literally spent the next month in prayer. We weren't legalistic about this, but it was something we decided we want to do. We spent a month in prayer, 24 hours a day. We made sure that one of us was in prayer. Somebody in the family was praying. And after a month, we all came together and we thought it was exactly the same thing. And exactly as it's Mexico. So we sold our, we didn't sell our house. We gave our house to actually the only members of the church that were the original members of that church. We gave our house to them. They helped us get a pop-up camper, and we moved down. And my dad, of course, let them know, but there were more people in that church. Anyways, August 17th, we leave Ohio for Mexico, 93. We make it to Mexico, but what now? Now, this is, when do I have to be done? 10 minutes ago? 35 minutes more? Cool. Okay, I thought we had to leave by 11:30. Okay. We do need to leave, though, fairly soon, don't we? Okay. All right. We made it to Mexico. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times when you follow the leading of the Spirit, as always, actually, you know, you're following the leading, and it's nice when you have an idea of what's going on. Usually you don't. And usually when you think you have an idea, you're wrong. Okay, but the point is to follow, and that's faith. We get down to Mexico, and we're like, what in the world do we do now? Well, Acts 14:21, they preach the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. We go into the villages, and we have lessons printed that are the gospel, point, verse, and it is the gospel step by step. But you know, here's what it is. Bam. Here's a verse that says exactly that same thing in words they can see and understand. And so they are not trusting, hey, I wonder if he's telling me exactly what it... Well, no, right there. You know, you find that verse. Right there it says it. See? Exactly the same thing. And so we're showing them the Word of God is what they... Not the Word of what, it's what they trusted, but they trust in Christ and they trust in the Spirit to show them and lead them. Okay? And I'm not trusting someone else's word. It's great that they can lead, that someone else can lead and guide, but you don't trust me because I say it. You better verify what I say through the Bible. And so we go in, show them the Jesus movie many times. Then we have a first lesson they go through. Everyone gets a Bible. Everyone gets a first lesson. So that was the general idea. However, after they trust in Christ, after they receive Christ, what next? Well, it's 14:22, strengthening the disciples. We have this series of lessons called the disciple lessons. Once again, it's step by step. And it's through the Bible, okay? Point by point. There's Dad's... Yes, sir?
The church, you know, like you're saying, it's so beautiful. The very first Greeks were there, and the very first Spanish.
Oh! Well, now yeah, none of us spoke any Spanish. I mean, we went across. We first came down with the idea that we were going to help. We're going to find somebody there right on the border. We're going to help them with a missions work in Agua Prieta and see how it goes from there, you know, and learn the language as we're helping doing, you know, helping them in that area. Well, I can positively tell you right now, there is not a church that I would recommend to anyone in Douglas, Arizona. Okay. There is one guy, and we were getting along okay, except he claims that, you know, it's impossible for the Mexican people to ever have the Word of God because the only Word of God is the King James Version of the Bible. Now, you know, so that relationship did not last long. So we're here, and it comes into, I think it's October, and we're like, what in the world are we doing? We can't continue to do it. Let's go. We hooked up the pop-up camper, and we went down into Mexico, and we found a village, and they had a baseball stadium, and, well, we parked it there, and we set it up, and that night it snowed. In Mexico, we have the pop-up camper. It's extended, and, of course, there wasn't room for me in the pop-up camper because it was me, it was Mom, it was Dad, and it was my other four brothers and sisters. And so I was sleeping in a tent, and we wake up the next morning, and there's 3-4 inches of snow all around. So we're like, this is something else. So we go, and we walk. We're just walking around house to house, person to person to person. And, you know, hey, you know, do you know Jesus? You know, we've got, yeah, we have here, this is a Spanish tract, I think. I can't understand it, you know. Well, you want to, I do have a Bible in Spanish, and I can just read that. You want to, you know, well, you want to sit down and talk. You know what, people, hey, yeah, come on in, have a cup of coffee, let's talk. You know, I only got one, I can only talk this in Spanish, you know, and that is a good thing. English is very, or Spanish is very simple to read. So you're like, okay, well, here we go, Holy Spirit. Let's see, let's start with John 3:16 in Spanish. And that is the way it went for, you know, the first while. And the response is unbelievable. There is so many people and pastors and situation and people in Mexico, they take the pastors hold themselves above their people. It is almost, I know something that you do not. And they go into a church service with the intention of intentionally showing that what this book says is not what this book means. If they were to say anything else, then the people would not follow them. That's why 2/3 of the masses still held in Mexico are done in Latin. They're done in Spanish. Why? If people knew what they were saying, they wouldn't follow them. And I've had many people come to me and they'll say, "Well, you know, what do I do? The church says this, and you say this." I said, "Look, I'm not here to teach you a religion. I'm not Baptist. I'm not Catholic. You know, I'm teaching you. I'm showing you exactly what the Word of God says. Straight right here, it says it. And if it doesn't say it, and I say you need to do this, well, then you better verify that what I just told you is in there, or don't do it." And I said, you know, my job isn't to teach you religion. If you want religion, I said, you need to go ask the priest what that verse, what it means. Go ask your priest. You know, go ask your pastor. And they get so ticked off because come back and said, "Do you know what he said?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "It means this because the church says it means that." And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "There you go." I said, "That's why you..." And how many times that has happened? Probably 15, 20 times I've had that exact thing happen. "Well, you know, you need to go ask your pastor about that." "No, I don't. You know, he says there is no Trinity. There's just the Father, and he was the Son, and now he's the Father again, and well, now he's the Holy Spirit again, and then he'll be the Father again sometimes." And I says, "That's not what he says." "No." I said, "Well, you got to ask him. That's what he says." He says, "Well, then how do you baptize..." Like talking about exactly about baptism and the Father, name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said, "I don't know. Ask him." And they get so ticked off because the Bible is not it is not what they use. And so when you go and you sit with someone, you know, you take this book, you read this book, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will use it every time. Every time. And we'd enter houses and, "Well, who are you?" And this and that. And I said, "Well, you know, my name's one you can't even pronounce." He said, "But what? Yeah, let's go and do this." And I can't correct. Courtney learned Spanish a lot quicker than the rest of us. And so when we did that, we were able to come along with lessons. And that's how the lessons developed over the next 6 months to 9 months as we learned out, you know, to talk to people and actually learned what they needed. However, one funny illustration, though, you know, how we parked there in that field and everything, and we had 4 inches of snow and all that. The bad thing is snow melts, and we happen to have parked it in an arroyo. And so we had to get a tractor to get our flooded pop tent out the pop-up camper out by the time it was over with. So, but even that, you know, the guy comes by and we're standing there looking down in this, and you know, we're from Ohio, and we don't know what an arroyo is. I mean, you know, an arroyo, what's that? Yeah, the guy comes over and he's standing there and he speaks a little bit of English. He's looking down in there and we got water in our pop-up camper, and he says, "You know, why'd you folks park in the river?" And like, "Wasn't a river when we parked there." You know, so I don't know. It was one of those things. I guess he had to be there, but holy cow. It was just, the point is, though, in all, we've made, not mistakes, but we've learned. We've learned things that the Holy Spirit has taught us, but the Holy Spirit taught us in the way He wanted us to learn. And so as we lead them to the Lord using the Word of God. What then? Encouraging the reign true to the faith. Bible surveys, book studies, character studies, thousands of pages of study material. We have lessons upon lessons that are purely designed, okay, to show and get them into the Word of God and study it themselves. They are Mexican people. Culturally, they are not used to reading and learning. There's very few novels. And those novels they do have are, you have to go to Hermosillo to find a novel, and it's just a novel that's been translated from English into Spanish, and there might be 15 of them in Hermosillo. The reading and learning from reading, it is not the way of their culture, especially and particularly in the villages where we go. Now you get in the bigger cities in that atmosphere, it is a little different. But where we are, that is, in those villages, it's, you know, villages might have 100 people, villages might have 20 people, and villages might have 150 people. You never know how many people are going to be there. And you can be there and not know how many people are there. Till you say, okay, well, you know, I'll come in and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to hold a service up tonight here in the square tonight. Why don't you come in? And all of a sudden, you know, the 20 people you know are in that village turn into 60 or 70, and you're like, where in the world did they come from? But they're from all the surrounding ranches and the surrounding areas. And so, uh-oh. Oh, well, that's okay. Look, there's no way I'm getting through any of that. I don't have much time. Herman took all of it. I've got to get around and go. There's a million different things I want to share with you and I want to talk to you about, and I don't have the time, but what I do have the time I want to tell you about a guy named Baca. Baca was a gentleman I led to the Lord in the prison in Hermosillo, and Baca's been living with us for a year now. And to show you how God works and how the ministry propagates and how Christ propagates our ministry, I led Baca to the Lord almost 5 years ago now. And him and the prison guard at the same time named Guillermo. And Baca was one of those that was always out of hand, always out of control. Been put 7 guards in the hospital, all kinds of different things. Just a ruffian, and I... You know, which, you know, that's great for me because that's what most people think I am. So, you know, we get in there, we just get along. Everybody follows, hey, let's go see who he is. He doesn't look like a pastor, but he's got a Bible. And they follow me, and that's just the way it worked out. That's the way God used me. Well, anyways, he accepted Christ or trusted in Christ, and then he got out of prison. Now, this was not actually a good thing at the time, because he got out of prison 3 days after my daughter was born, which means I had to go down 3 days after my wife had a C-section, and my dad was in the hospital with pneumonia and pick him up so that he didn't get thrown back in jail because he didn't have anywhere to go. So, yeah. Anyways, we got him back. He's been with us now 15 months. He calls me Dad. He calls Cheryl Mom. He's got 5 other brothers and sisters, and when someone asks him, you know, well, who are you? Who's that? Who are you? He refers to himself as my 6th kid. So, but in order to become legal and get legal status in Mexico, I was required to either have $20,000 in the bank for like the last year, like it ain't happening. Or I had to have something somehow to tie me to Mexico. Now, I do have 2 children that are both Mexican and U.S. citizens. 2 of my children were born there. However, that's why I don't have to have $40,000 in the bank if I want to do it. So I had to come up with something. So in order to become legal, I had to have something legally tying me to Mexico. And the reason I have to become legal is I'm no longer allowed in the prisons. They changed the laws, and I can't get in the prisons to preach. If they caught me in there, they would kick me out of the country permanently. They go in spurts. Okay, for 1 minute they're going to be really intense about police, and then the next minute they're going to be really intense about the prisons. Well, right now they're really intense about the prisons. They kicked a Catholic priest out who has a Catholic church in Hermosillo because he did not jump through one of their hoops to get in there. They kicked him out, and he cannot even reapply for 6 months or a year suspension that he is not even able to try to get back into the prisons. Okay, so in order to do that, I came up to the state. I had to have a business. I had to have something that tied me to Mexico, or I had to have 20 grand in the bank. Well, I came up and says, hey, you know, I got a lot I can rent, and I'll pick up. I picked up a cheap pitching machine and a batting cage net. Set that up down there. Now I'm officially have my business, and in 2 years I'm going to be a dual citizen of Mexico. So in between there, what I've been doing is I try to get to the villages once, twice a week, wherever mom and dad have been or where they are at that time, and hold services and to get a chance to answer questions as to, you know, what happened here, what happened there, why do you do this, why does the Bible say this, and this group say that. It's just a time for them to come in and that I can answer questions, but also a time that, you know, I can present the gospel straightforward, word for word, verse for verse, and show them the love that Christ has for us and how they can be free of all their other false faiths by the one and true Christ. Okay? Any questions? And you better make it quick. I don't get in trouble.
I can point out the material y'all have written.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. There are, yeah. There are priests in Arispe and Cananea for sure that I know of. And they are using the materials that we have written as Bible study material for their congregations. And so, I mean, yeah, I hope you don't take everything I've said as an attack against Catholic Church. My job isn't to attack anybody. You know, my job is to preach the truth, give the gospel. But through that, there's even more than that. There's altogether, there's like 15 different priests and pastors and whatnot from different organizations and places and religions that are using the curriculums now. Oh, right now, you know, I don't even want to guess. We're printing over 1,000 easy that are going out. But, John, that's what we're printing. John Henson, the church in Tucson, they have a whole other printing ministry and taking it down to other groups that have trusted, you know, that other groups that are now presenting the gospel and giving lessons to other people. There's Beatrice. Beatrice has over 100 people now she's supplying lessons to, and half of those are supplying lessons to other people along with their Bibles. And it is it's unbelievable the way it is grown. But back to Baca. Baca has spent in the last few months, Baca has led over 20 children to the Lord working at that batting cage. The lesson, it's just, hey, kids come into bat, hey, you know, okay, get over here, you know, and they like Baca. He's a personable guy. He'll sit down, he's led over 20 to the Lord that we know of, just sitting there, using a lesson, take his Bible. You won't find Baca at that batting cage without his Bible. I mean, he's sitting there, and then the kids go, and it's amazing to me to see how he's come from 5 years to sending guards to the hospital to, you know, now, Baca's sitting behind a batting cage, and there's 5-10 kids around him, you know. And it's just to see him grow and what he does. I'm amazing. So, listen, I haven't had near as much time as I'd like to have. Not just because of time and the camp and getting there. If any of you have requests or questions or any problems, please, if you get a chance, feel free. I will be here next Sunday, and I'll try to stay a little later after next Sunday's. That's going to be a camp service, but I will be here. You know, maybe I can explain a little better or answer any questions that you might have. Please pray for us. We're having, you guys think this is hot. Man, this is a cold front. Okay, I am being honest, I'm being very serious. On July 4th, it was 127 degrees at our house. Okay, and the pump bit the water pump for the village bit the dust on the 1st of July. And so we had no evaporative coolant. It was 127 degrees. And you know, next person that talks to me about the heat index, I just don't slap. Because, you know, I don't care about your heat index. It's 127 degrees, okay? And God help the person who says, yeah, but it was a dry heat. You know, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Okay. This was all, you know, you do have to realize, this was like 18 years ago. So, currently, my brother Nathan is studying to be a missionary pilot. He's working on military aircraft right now, the drone aircraft, and he's using that to fund his aviation training. I have my other sister, Courtney is a doctor, went to school in Mexico. She's now an MD. Yeah, she's now a medical doctor, and she's finalizing the process, and she'll be she is completely legal to practice medicine. She just cannot, at this point in time, write a prescription. But that will be taken care of by the end of August, and she'll have everything fully registered in Mexico. She's married, and she just had a baby, and the baby's name's Josh. He is a Mexican citizen, and they are currently doing missions work in the villages, as we are. With mom and dad, where Courtney's working as the doctor, and mom and dad to attract people, and mom and dad, of course, present the gospel. That's Courtney. Amber had a ministry at the hospital in Hermosillo. However, her youngest daughter got asthma and was very sick for a long time, and they found out she needed some special treatment, and the only way they could get it was in Sierra Vista. So Amber decided they moved to Sierra Vista. They got her husband legal status in the United States, and now he has a job, and he's helping to support the ministry financially, and the baby is doing much better. They received the treatment they needed, and hopefully within a couple of years she'll be back down in Mexico working with the hospitals and orphanages in Hermosillo. Summer is an RN, and she's working right now. She's working to pay off her student loans and debts out of Mesa and Casa Grande, and she's working up by Phoenix area right now. She'll pay off her debts, and the plan is, I guess, that she's going to work on the mission field in one way or another as a nurse and nursing skills. I don't know her exact plans as of recent. I haven't seen her for quite a while, just ships passing in the night type thing. So, God has blessed us beyond belief, and He's given each one of us a different desire and a different aspect and a different ministry, in that it's all towards the propagation of the gospel and the presentation of Jesus Christ as the all-in-all, having fulfilled it and completely paid the debt for sin. That is our ministry. However, in the way in which God has taken each one of us and our different gifts, our different abilities, and used that, I mean, my other brother, if you saw him, you would know why I say this, but my other brother would not last long trying to teach in prison. He just, that people would look at him and laugh. He's not that. I can walk into the prisons and people look at me and say, okay, you know, he's weird, let's follow him. Okay, it's just, hey, God does things to different people, and He gives different people different gifts. And God's just, the situation we have now is just so, it is so, only God could have done it, that there's no way we could have come up with it the way it is. Mom and dad are great in the villages, and a lot of that has to do with the people look at mom and dad and they feel sorry for them. They're like, you know, look at these poor gringos, you know. Look at them. We gotta see if they're okay, you know. And so, I mean, it just, everything, it just works perfect, and God knows what He's doing, and we thank You for all Your prayers and all Your support, and please continue it, and we'll continue doing what we're doing as God gives us strength and power. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank You for everything that You've given us, and we thank You for the United States. We thank You for our country. We thank You for how profitable this country is. And Lord, help us never lose focus of Your greatness and Your absolute mercy and wonderful gift of salvation. Father, please Help us as we focus on you and as we learn to walk more in the Spirit. During this week, Lord, during the camp, please open up these kids' hearts, Lord, and their minds to receive your message, to understand it. Give them understanding and give them a hunger for you like never before. Father, we will always give you the honor and the glory for everything, good and bad, in our life. Please use it to your honor. And we'll give you the honor and the glory. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, amen.